Well, today we ask the question, why would a woman with a cushy job reporting on the good life in Boston quit so that she can stand ankle deep in freezing water in lousy weather nursing a bunch of oysters? Well, this is how the book Shucked, Life on a New England Oyster Farm opens. Its author, Erin Byers Murray, joins us. Erin, welcome.
It's good to be here, Lynn.
So, okay, how did you come to this?
Well, I was, like you said, living this great life in Boston. I had a good career. I was making good money. I was satisfied professionally. But there was something that I wasn't being fulfilled by. And I was writing about food, and I understood where food came from, but I really hadn't seen how food was produced. I hadn't ever gotten my hands dirty. And at the same time, this was that I was in search of something. I happened to meet a group of oyster farmers from Island Creek Oysters, and they asked me if I wanted to take a tour of the farm for story ideas. So I went down on this gorgeous 80-degree day in August and got in the water in my waders and looked around and thought, wow, this is pretty spectacular. I could see myself doing this. And the farmer said, you know, well, we're out here in January doing it. We're chainsawing through the ice to do it. And I thought, now that is what I want to do. So I concocted a plan and I quit my job and went to work for the farm at Island Creek.
What was this like for you when you actually got into it?
It was tough. It was backbreaking. I was bent over for hours at a time. I was standing in the freezing cold for, you know, 12 hours straight. And I, believe it or not, I actually liked it. This sounds terrible, but I did love it. But the first couple of months were brutal. My body had to be broken down and then rebuild itself based on the work that I was doing.
Could you explain to us how you farm an oyster?
Sure. So oysters come to the farm from a hatchery. They're spawned in a controlled environment, and we call them seed, but they're actually baby oysters. They're actually fully formed oysters that are about the size of a pepper flake. So when the farmer gets them, her job is to get them up to a size where they're safe to live in the water. So we keep them in controlled tanks and we pump them with, you know, the bay water, and they are grown from the pepper flake size up to about a quarter of an inch in probably 3 or 4 months. And from that process, we then put them into a nursery where they're grown out a little bigger in a more protected environment. And then Island Creek finishes their oysters for the last 8 to 12 months, actually growing on the bottom of the bay floor right in Duxbury Harbor.
So what was the first task you had to do when you went there?
I started out culling, and culling is the process of sorting the oysters. Oysters grow at different speeds, so you know, we would harvest the oysters, and that was something we usually did by hand. We would go out and hand pick the oysters off the bay floor during a low tide, and then we'd bring them back to. We had a floating processing plex, we called it. It's a barge, and we would work on that barge and basically take all the oysters we'd harvested and drop them out onto a table. So imagine a pile of oysters the size of, say, a turkey. And basically, one by one, you're sorting through to separate them by size and by shape. And in the process, you're handling each and every oyster. But you're also standing across the table from your crewmates for up to 8 to 10 hours at a time, no matter what the conditions are. So that was the part that was a little daunting to me at first, because you just see piles of oysters in your dreams. They're washing past you at all times. But the process of culling, it helps you understand, you know, why oysters are such a unique product, because each one is completely different, and they grow in a very unique way.
So what are you looking for when you cull?
So Island Creeks have this really consistent, round, almost teardrop shape, and they have a deep cup, which, you know, you measure probably about maybe an inch or two between your fingers, and they are usually about 3 inches in length, sometimes a little bit longer. So any ones that are not that are maybe smaller or mm-hmm. misshapen, they might go back out into the water where they would regrow or do a little bit more maturing before we harvested them again.
The level of handwork that you talked about in the book was so striking. And then you said something about they sell these for 75 cents each. And you have to question, How do people make any real money doing this work?
Good question. Now, it is a lot of hands-on work, and the oysters are handled anywhere from 15 to 20 times in their life cycle.
Whoa.
And for something that grows in the water, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But we really, as farmers, we were crafting their growth. We were pruning their shape a little and chipping off the edge of their shell so that they could regrow stronger. And all of that is what creates that consistent shape. So that handiwork does require a lot of time and attention and energy. The way I think farmers make up for that is volume. The yield of an oyster crop, if let's say you're getting 1 million oyster seed, you might only see 300,000 to 400,000 of those come up as edible, sellable oysters. So, you know, they might only do the work themselves as opposed to hiring a crew of people to do it. So it's quite an investment. It might take 3 years for an oyster farmer to see any kind of profit.
So after all of this, did you actually find what you were looking for?
Yes, I did. I found passion in my work. I didn't start this project to become an oyster farmer. There are people out there that are going to always do that better than I ever could. But turns out I actually really like being a writer. So for me, it was about regrouping and stepping back and understanding why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Well, Erin, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn.
Erin Byers-Murray is author of Shucked, Life on a New England Oyster Farm.